Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma. Almost forgot my name there for a second. And joining me this week, I have once again my good friend Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
I'm always happy to contribute to all things Nintendo.
Yay.
Or at least most things Nintendo. Some things Nintendo for me, you could fill in the rest.
Yeah, exactly. That's why there's, you know, you need the two of us, I think. So yeah. If it was just me, I'd be like, there's no one to ask. I need someone to ask. Yeah, so we're back for another week of fun and games, and we've got a few things to talk about this week, a few announcements of games coming to the Switch, games we're playing, our usual Switch 2 rumors. But the first item I wanted to talk about was the Mario vs. Donkey Kong demo, because that's come out now, which I didn't know that was going to be a thing. I guess it makes sense. But it's like, did you expect to see a demo? Because it just kind of happened where I got an email from Nintendo, not even as a writer, just as a Nintendo user, saying, hey, there's a Mario vs. Donkey Kong demo. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then the email from Nintendo as a writer, you know, pure Nintendo side of things, came after that. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. did you have any such correspondence?
I got the Nintendo user email that you got that was available. Because I think, I remember the first thing I did was look to see how long it was going to be. I thought, well, do I want to download a demo? Like, how many levels am I going to get? I didn't know if I should bother sinking my teeth into it or not. And I didn't. So you did. Okay. How'd it go?
Yeah, it went pretty well. Let me ask you before I talk about it. If it was a long demo or a short demo, which of those would have swayed you to download it? Had you known?
Knowing what I know about the game, and again, with my confusing history of what did I play and what did I not play in this series and on what device, I would want it to be a bit longer. Say, not just a few puzzles. I'd want more. You know.
Yeah.
Are they split into worlds? I seem to recall that maybe they were split into like individual areas and then you had a certain number of puzzles in each area. I'd want to get through one full area of puzzles in my demo.
Well, then you would be disappointed.
Okay.
Because it is quite a short demo, honestly. It's four playable levels, which, you know, on paper sounds fine. And I thought, oh, okay, it might take me half an hour. It didn't take that long. It's, of course, you know, it's a great game. We already know this. It's not a new game. It's a revamped edition of a 2004 game, I think, isn't it? So it's like a 20-year-old game. But the demo only has four playable levels, so it's quite short and they're quite easy levels. And I was thinking about the pros and cons of that, I guess. You know, the pros are that it's very accessible. Anyone can play it. You know, they don't want to give you the hard levels, I guess, because you don't want to pick up a demo and get frustrated by it. And I'm sure that the puzzles will get harder, but these are quite early levels. Like, I think it shows you world one. Like you said, there's worlds. You do world 1-1, I think world 1-3 and world 1-5, and then there's a level. So the way it seems to be broken down is the levels have two parts. The first part is getting a key and then opening a door, and then you go through the door, and then the second part is finding the mini Mario toy. So that's how a level works. A level 1-1 has both of those elements. Level 1-3 has both of those elements. Level 1-5 has both of those elements. And then at the end of the world, there's like, you gather your little mini Marios that you found in all of the other levels, and you have to guide them to the toy box. So that's a slightly different style for those ones. And it's, you know, it's really fun. It's exactly what I expected, of course. I've played not this particular game, but I have played one of them in the series, so I sort of know what to expect. But, you know, it's really easy to pick up and play. And I think Nintendo probably wanted to demonstrate the two-player aspect and the casual mode aspect. Which you can try both of those in the demo.
But it is really, they mentioned those in the email, I think, is selling points for the demo.
Yeah. I don't know. I was slightly disappointed just because it was so short. But, you know, fine. It's a teaser. It's a real teaser for the full game. And at the end, you know, because you're only sort of playing in world one, so it's very, you know, perfunctory levels that are very, the layouts are quite simple and they're all the same. You know, it's not like an ice world or a fire world. It's just a very city-based world, I guess, like pipes and, oh, not pipes. I don't know, just ledges, just simple platforms. There's little Shy Guy mini toys running around that you have to kind of jump on and defeat. So there's a few little interactive elements to introduce you to how things work. But overall, it's quite easy, which is fine. But, yeah, I think at the very end when you finish it, you know, it sort of says thank you for playing. It gives you quite a lengthy trailer, I guess, about what to expect from there. And you can see the worlds ahead look quite nice. Like I kind of mentioned, there's an ice world, you know, you're slipping around on the ice. There's just a lot of lovely looking levels to look forward to. So it did make me want to play more for sure. But it was over quite quickly. So I'm not sure how many people will get a kick out of that or not. It's only, 2 weeks away. So it's the 16th, the full title comes out. And I think there are 130 levels or 120 levels or something. It's quite a few.
Yeah, and that's why I thought we'd get more than four in the demo. Like at that point, give me 10. Give me like a 10% of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess also if they did want to show off, you said they skipped from 1 to 3 to 5, which isn't huge if it's all in the same world, but it at least has a little bit of variety. So maybe they could have done that for like something further down the road. So we get a feel for a little more of the complexity and the elements of the different worlds. Would have been better to show off, I think.
I think so too. I would have liked to seen something a bit more complex. And I mean, it teaches you the mechanics. Like you can pick up objects and throw them. You can pick up the Shy Guys and throw them. What else can you do? Obviously, there's switches to turn on and off, you know, walls and bridges and whatever, depending on the color. Like there's red and blue things. There's lots of different little pieces to enjoy and pick up. But what you sort of pick it up and then you're like, oh, now I want to use it more, but I can't. But I guess that's the feeling they want you to have. Maybe like, I want to play this, but I can't. And it sort of cleverly/sneakily says at the end, you know, there's no real action except maybe, do you want to go to the eShop? And then you can pre-order the game, right? So I guess a certain percentage of people might do that. I don't know what the conversion rate would be, but it's there. It's very easy to do. Like, I did enjoy that. I want to play more. Might as well just pre-order it. So I don't know.
How are the graphics, like looking at it on the TV?
It looks lovely. It looks just what I expected, really. Very crisp and clear and colorful. Mario moves very well. It's, you know, because I'm a huge platformer fan, so I'm very used to Mario's platforming movement style. It's a little different to that. Obviously, you're not, you know, I wanted to hold down the run button, for example. You can't run, but you can walk and jump and pick up things, like I said, which is a bit Mario 2-esque, Mario Brothers 2, when you know, you used to pick up enemies and pick up vegetables and hurl them. It has that kind of feel to it, I suppose. It looks great. I was very happy with the way it looked and played. No complaints apart from the shortness, really. But, you know, it's a free demo, so you can't really complain. It's just, I wish I had more. Hopefully it gives people a feel for it. I mean, I was thinking about the age of the game. It's 20 years old. A lot of people, I guess, if you're 20 or younger, you wouldn't have played it. Even I haven't played it, and it's not because of my age. I just didn't play it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. They're really promoting it, though, don't you think? A lot?
Yeah, but I also wonder if that's because there's not a whole lot else to promote. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll push this through, and then they'll heavily promote the Peach's game, and then we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's definitely going to be the case for sure. And I mean, anything with Mario in it probably does pique the interest of players. He's a popular, obviously, IP. And I love the Mario SDK element. You know, it's very fun. I think even in the email, and I think I put this in my post actually, which I did before I saw it in the email. So this was me. And then I realized Nintendo also did it, that they're frenemies, right? Mario and Donkey Kong are frenemies.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I wanted to allude to something because I posted the news on the site that the demo's out. And I wanted to say something along the lines of, you know, Mario and Donkey Kong's rivalry, but they're not really enemies. You know, they work together. They're both good guys. Donkey Kong's not a bad guy. He just, in this case, lost his mind and stole some toys. Like,
haven't we all?
Yes. So I thought, there's a word for that. It's called frenemy. So, and then I noticed in Nintendo's email that they referred to them as frenemies also. So there you go.
Well, you got it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd recommend giving it a go. If you're on the fence and you wanted to see how it plays, for sure, give it a go. Don't expect a lot. It is very short. I mean, I'm talking, you could get through it in 10 minutes if you wanted to. You could take your time and maybe. I did replay World 1-1 only because and it's the easiest of them all. But because I realized I didn't collect something. So each level does have little collectibles. They look like little presents to me. I don't know what they actually are. But yeah, you have to get all the collectibles in the level to get a star rating. So I did go back and do that. And there is a time limit as well, which kind of adds up. And I don't know, I should have tried the casual mode to see if the time limit disappears. But in the normal, whatever you call the normal mode, classic, I guess, classic mode, there is a time limit for each level, which is interesting. So if you run out of time, you lose a life. You have 5 lives to start with, and there at least one level had a one-up, like a one-up mushroom to collect, so you can gain lives. I did bump into a Shy Guy at one point and lose a life because I was curious. They're little toys. They're running around, and I thought, oh, it's fine, right? It's just a little toy. You can jump on them and pick them up, but you can't run into them, so don't do that.
Yeah, and I think I remember that coming into play on the harder levels where there's a lot more to do and they take longer. Because, like, initially, if you lose your life, you just start the level over again. But if you're deep into it and you've put together this crazy chain of events to get to where you need to be towards the end and then you lose a life, I think, yeah, then you're more likely to just lose it and keep going and try to pick up where you were.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the casual mode should come in, I think, because you don't necessarily have to restart. I think you just bubble back to a certain point in the level, from what I understand. Maybe. So, yeah. Yeah, so interesting. We'll see how that goes when the full game comes out soon. But yes, that was my experience. Next piece of news is a title that is was announced sort of late last week, that Sonic... I don't know how to say this. Sonic Times Shadow? Sonic X Shadow Generations?
Sonic. It could be Sonic Against. I see it in Godzilla movies, I see X a lot, and it's always against.
Oh, okay. I
don't know. I don't know if that's what they're doing.
Yeah, Sonic. I'm just going to say Sonic X Shadow Generations is coming to the Switch. And this is another... So I think it's coming out in autumn 2024, I think was the kind of range, the date range they gave, so a few months away still. And it's sort of a remake of an earlier title. What year was it? I did look this up. Was it 2006? 2011? 2006? I don't know. Sometime around 15 to 20 years ago was Sonic Generations. That was the game. And what they've done is they've added a shadow extra component to it, which is why it's Sonic Times. I want to say it looks like a times to me. Why don't I just put versus, like Mario versus
or Sonic 10 Shadow.
Yes. Now, I have not played the original of this. Have you at all?
I have not. In fact, when I watched the trailer, I wasn't even sure what I was looking at. I didn't know if it was two games that had been combined. It sounds like they're just adding Shadow to one game. Is that what's going on here?
I think so. Yeah, I was also a little confused. I had to do some research. And I kind of wish Trev was here this week because I feel like he would know because he's a Sonic fan. I never played Sonic Generations. I loved Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on like the, what do you guys call it? The Mega Drive. What do you call the Mega Drive? The
Genesis.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was the same. Those are the two that I played. And I dabbled in others, but Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 were the games that I'm pretty sure I pushed through all the way to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Same. And after that, I just get confused.
I don't know. Who's who or what. There's a lot. There's a lot going on, honestly. And obviously Sonic merged into 3D territory, and I believe Sonic Generations was the merge of those two genres, like the 90s side-scrolling Sonic and the early 2000s 3D Sonic, or kind of 2000. Yeah, sorry, I did look this up and now I've forgotten. But basically, there's Sonic has some, 3D titles and 2D titles, and this generation kind of merges the two concepts into one. And I believe it's actually two versions of Sonic meet each other and two versions of Tails. So it's like the 2D Sonic and the 3D Sonic meet each other and have to help each other, from what I understand.
Yeah, there was like a kid Sonic, or at least a smaller one or something.
Yeah. And so I don't know how Shadow fits into it. I was thinking just then, is he a frenemy? But I think he's an enemy. I don't know, to be honest, how he fits into it. I think Knuckles might be the frenemy in that relationship, and Shadow is just a bad version of Sonic. Not sure how that all works. I need the next movie to come out because he was alluded to at the end of Sonic 2, the movie.
Yeah. Oh, he's like the metaverse Sonic.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks like it's kind of a little bit like what they did with Mario 3D World, where they added Bowser's Fury. They added kind of this new kind of campaign, whatever, to the game. It seems like they've taken some generations, they've updated the visuals, and then they've thrown in a new bout of levels featuring Shadow. So it's kind of a mix of old and new, a little bit like Mario vs. Donkey Kong, I guess, because that's what they've done with that too. They've added levels and stuff like that. So yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know how popular it is. I was looking at some, you know, reviews of the original title. It seemed like it was on the 3DS in terms of Nintendo devices, and it had mixed reviews. And other consoles maybe fared a little bit better, but it seems like it's got a bit of a cult following, and Sonic is definitely popular, you know, so we'll see how that fares. But it is an interesting time frame, autumn 2024, in terms of, you know, the Switch and its lifespan, but we'll see, I guess. The trailer looks fun. It does look a bit confusing. I think if you don't know Sonic Generations, like you and I obviously did not know what that was. It's like, what is this? It feels like a new game in some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is
good. And it looks like one too. I mean, the graphics were great. It's very fast. Mm. And it's got, like you said, that combination where sometimes we're sort of like it's at Sonic's back looking straight ahead as he's running, and other times it's side to side. So a good mix of gameplay elements that look great and sound great.
Yeah. I wonder if it alienates fans a little bit in that if you're a 2D fan, you have to go through the 3D levels and maybe you don't enjoy those, and vice versa. If you're a 3D fan who doesn't necessarily like Sonic's 2D styles, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think most people would be fine. What do you think?
Well, I think right now Trevor's going to be listening to this and he's going to think I should have been on this call because I have an opinion on the matter.
Yes.
I would wait in, so... personally, yeah. I do not. I from a standpoint of a casual Sonic fan, I think that's probably good because the gameplay doesn't get too repetitive. If it's constantly switching your angles and your views and you're having to change up the way you're controlling Sonic and moving around, then that's going to keep things more interesting, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. Yeah. I've not played a lot of 3D Sonic. I've just... from what I've seen and heard, they're very mixed in terms of, I don't know, the reception, the critical reception. Some have done well, some have not done so well. But the 2D ones are pretty reliable. You know, it's hard to get wrong, I think. How do you not get a 2D Sonic right? So anyway, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's fine. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I guess there might be some more information later. But yeah, interesting one to look out for. Definitely looking forward to hearing Trev's thoughts when he comes back on. And you can correct us on everything we've gotten wrong. Thank you, Trev.
Maybe there'll be a demo by then, too. we could have all
played. True. I would definitely try the demo. Yeah. I just feel like Sonic's 3D games, I don't know, they look great on paper. And I think the last one fared quite well, actually. But it just, you know, they're not cheap games. And the triple A, what do you call them? Triple A? It's like, you know, they're big ish titles, but I don't know. I've never felt inspired to actually sink my teeth into them. I don't know why. Maybe I should stop that. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on to the next thing then. excuse me. So this is an interesting little title that we heard about during the week that's coming to the Switch. I believe it's in March, and it's Euphoria the Saga 2, which is from Sunsoft. And yeah, I have to
all the way back. Way back.
Yeah. And I have to admit, I was a little confused by this as well, in terms of I thought this was an old game that they'd remade, but it seems like it's a sequel to an old game from the NES era. Do you know much about this one?
It's the funny thing is, when I looked at the press release for this, and I felt like again, there was just a chunk of my life where either I wasn't playing games or I wasn't as deep into it as I thought I was, because I've never heard of this game before, but the press release made it sound like this is something I should know.
Yeah.
But I looked it up, and the original Euphoria the Saga came out in 1991 in Japan. Mm-hmm. It was released in 92 in Europe and Australia, and that's it. It never came to the US.
Yeah.
So not only is it our first opportunity to, oh, there was a mobile version in Japan in 2003. That was the latest iteration of the game. So I think, I don't know if this is a saga so much, or excuse me, a sequel, as it is kind of like a bigger, actually at the Nintendo website, it's listed as an authentic evolution of the original Euphoria.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's going to be bigger. There's going to be a lot more. The graphics have certainly changed. But yeah, I watched the trailer for this and just was absolutely charmed by the whole presentation.
It is. Charming is the word. It does look very charming. And if you're listening, it sounds like Euphoria, like E-U-P-H, but it's actually U-F-O-U-R-I-A, like the letter U and then F-O-U-R, like the number 4, and then I-A, like the spelling. Yeah. Yeah, when you said it just then, it occurred to me, Euphoria. Oh, that's actually a word. I hadn't thought of that until I was listening to you say it as opposed to reading it, if that makes sense. Anyway.
Yeah, well, actually, it's when I first looked at it, I didn't even try to pronounce it. When I was doing my research, I think I caught, you know what it is? It's the box of the original. They put the letter U and then a dot to separate the 4.
Ah,
and then a dot from the IA. And I'm like, oh, Euphoria, got it now.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I just feel a little stupid for not picking that up on first glance. So
no, I was just thinking if listeners were trying to Google it, it wouldn't come up if they spelt it the usual way.
So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. Thank you for the history of that one, because yeah, I wasn't sure either, but it looks, yeah, like you said, charming. It has a bit of almost a Kirby-ish sort of vibe to it in terms of
Kirby's Epic Yarn came into my head a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's got that quality. Very, very cute. The characters all, I think the main person is meant to be a penguin, I believe.
Looks like it.
Yeah. And there's a few, it looks like you can switch between them and they kind of high five each other when you switch. There's like a little ghost guy. Yeah. And then did a bird poop on one of them at one point in the trailer?
It's possible. I know there was one point in the trailer where it looks like someone's either looking in too deeply or drinking out of a toilet. So I don't know what the sense of humor is on the game.
I did see that as well. Yeah. And it looks like they were refreshed from drinking out of the toilet. I saw that too. I'm like, is that a toilet? Okay.
You know what? Now that I'm looking at the description on Nintendo's site, we do get some puns that would kind of go in that direction. There's, it looks like one of the enemies is called a Bumyun.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then there is something here called Papoons.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Which is about as close to poop as we're going to get without saying it, I suppose. So, yeah, there's definitely some kind of toilet humor involved with Euphoria.
Yes. So it's a platformer. You know, you're collecting coins and defeating enemies. But it looks really – it does look fun and cute. I don't know how deep it is, but because I think from what I read, Euphoria, the original, was kind of mixed reviews in terms of it was a bit easy or short compared to, say, Mario, I think. But this one is probably longer given it's a sequel and it's 2024. But yeah, it certainly looks like if you were a fan of it. And yeah, I mean, not having it's odd that it would come out in Australia and not North America. That's rare, to be honest. Usually it's the other way around. And I mean, even though it came out here, I certainly hadn't heard of it. But from what I read also, Euphoria is a series on the NES or probably other systems as well, mostly in Japan, but they're not all the same style. Like this is the only one that was a platformer and then it moved into some other kind of territory with its sequels, this one being an actual sequel to the first one. But yeah, it seemed to be like it was Sunsoft's little mascot for a while, that little penguin guy, Hebby or something. Yeah, I mean, when you think of Sunsoft, did you think of a mascot at all or a character?
No. Which one? Yeah. What was the one with the B? There was a company that had it. It was Hudson. That was Hudson Soft, not Sunsoft. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess we sort of missed that whole thing in the 90s, but there you go. So maybe it's back. I don't know. We'll see how this one goes. But it certainly looks cute. It comes out on March 1st. I think it's coming out on all platforms, including the Switch. Check out the trailer. If you're on YouTube, you'll have seen it as we've been talking. Yeah, definitely one to keep your eye on. Certainly hope we'll be reviewing. I think we might be. Is that right? Yep. We're hoping to. Yeah.
It looks that way. Yeah. And definitely, because one of the things that we mentioned, how this game charmed us, the graphics are set up sort of like a paper craft kind of thing. Like there's some depth to them, and there's certainly some texture to the characters that you're playing with and combating. But like all the levels are set up with a certain type of shadow effect that makes it look like it's all happening within just like a little diorama. As opposed to like this big world that it feels like we're just three or four levels deep. And it's a cool effect. It's a good looking game.
Yeah, it is a cool effect. Yeah. It looks really nice. Honestly, I can't wait to try it. So yeah, we'll touch base on that one again when we know more, or when we have a copy to play ourselves. But speaking of playing games, let's move on to the games we are playing at the moment. And I have had a very slow week in games. I'm sorry, but I have been playing one game apart from Mario versus Donkey Kong, of course. But I've been playing a game called Promenade, which is another platformer that came our way during the week for review. Now this one is under embargo in terms of the review, so I can't publish that until I think it comes out around February the 18th, but I am allowed to talk about it on the show. And it is, you know, it's similar in a way to Euphoria in that it's a really cute platformer style game where you're running left to right. It's, you know, it's not a, it is a hand-drawn affair, so it has that really cartoony aesthetic. It's not, you know, the paper craft like Euphoria, so it's different in that respect. And it's not from Sunsoft, so I'm gonna stop comparing them now. It's just that they both came from Red Art Games, so that's the publisher who's put us onto those, both of these titles. So it's interesting that they're both platformers. But essentially, it's a young, like a boy, a child who falls in a cavern, meets a little octopus-like creature, and they become friends, and they work together to solve puzzles in a platforming sense. And it's, you know, it's really cute and charming, and my son also had a go at it last night and was really getting into it. The puzzles are quite creative. You know, you throw your octopus friend, and that lets you do things like catch onto a hook or pick up objects and use them in various ways. Like they make you jump further, or they you can pick up pieces and carry them to different areas. There's little enemies to battle, like a sort of an oversized crab. He throws little balls at you. You have to catch them and then throw them back at him. So it's stuff like that. You know, you pick up a basketball and you have to throw it to the hoop, and that's a little mission. So it's completing all these little missions and ticking them off on a little, you know, list, which I love. I love lists of things to tick off. So this has that. Yeah. And yeah, it's very, I mean, I don't want to use the same word, but it is charming. It's cute, very accessible. I feel like at the very beginning, I was probably a little bit lost in terms of what to do control wise. There's not a hugely in-depth explanation. The first level kind of takes you through some simple puzzles, and it sort of ticks these little signposts as you do them, but I was a little confused as to what I actually had to do to tick some of them at first, would be the only thing I have to say so far negatively. But otherwise, it's going really well, and of course I'll be working on a review for when it's released. As I said, that's around the 18th of February. But yeah, Promenade is the name of it. Very, very cute looking title that's, you know, open to all ages. It's going to be a very accessible one for families and kids. My son, he's 12, and he really got into it. You know, what the puzzles, I think, suit his, you know, his mind. He's a kid who likes to work things out. And, you know, you've got to go over here and do this thing, and, or, you know, there's a finish line randomly, and you're like, oh, what's this finish line? And then you find someone who needs to race you. And so then, you know, you have to race them to the finish line. There was a snail who was trying to get to somewhere specific. I don't want to give too many spoilers, and you have to help him get there. So it's little puzzles like that, very cute and very different and imaginative. So yeah, a fun one to check out for sure. And that's pretty much my week in gaming. Mario vs. Donkey Kong and Promenade. I haven't had much time this week. I'm I was meant to pick up Sea of Stars this week, Kirk, and
play it. Yes.
Yeah.
Because going to just hold out for the physical copy?
I thought about it, but because it's on sale, I thought maybe I should get it. Even though I would love the physical copy. And I keep going back to the webpage to pre-order it. And I'm like, oh, should I? But I haven't as yet. So we shall see. Yes. But you have an update on some games you've been playing.
Yes. In fact, one of them, the first one I'll talk about here, now that it's kind of out of the way, I'll be able to dig deeper into Sea of Stars, which I put on hold. But I have finally finished Persona 5 Royal.
Yay!
after, what did I look at? Maybe 160, 170 hours?
Wow.
Into this game. And that's impressive. Need to, we talked last time about the complexity of the final dungeon, mm-hmm. which in this game they're called palaces, whether it's good for that to be huge and complicated mm-hmm. or short so you can get right to the end. It wasn't the final one.
Oh my gosh, really?
It felt like the final one. The story was driving towards it being the final one, but then more happens. So I ended up going back into the game's loop, which is basically in between the palaces that you're going to steal the hearts of the bad people, we'll say, to correct mm-hmm. them. So they'll do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Then you're basically living a high school life where you're building relationships, you're working out to get stronger. You're eating cheeseburgers. It's this whole thing, which is weird to explain and it doesn't sound like it's that fun, but actually once you get into the flow of it, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But so I went back into that, and then there was the final for the original version of the game, the final thing, and I got through that much quicker. So the, you know, as I was saying, when I get to the end of the game, I wanted to go quickly, and they did.
There you go.
The battles were big, but it wasn't nearly as complex getting there. However, now since this was the Royal version with the mm-hmm. DLC built in, the game actually had kind of an odd ending, and then we pushed into the DLC additional content.
Right. And have you played through that as well or not yet?
Yes. Yeah. Then yeah, I played through that. And that felt quite different from the rest of the game for various reasons, mm-hmm. but was, although they kept building his up and said, oh, the stakes are even bigger than they were before, but it didn't really feel like that. Right. After, if there had been like 3 or 4 months between me finishing the core component and then going mm-hmm. into this, it may have felt more like that, but I wasn't as invested as I was, right. although there were certainly some unique elements to it. But it skipped along at a pretty good pace, and there was I don't think it's a spoiler. There was a character throughout the whole game that you couldn't really play as a lot, and that character factors heavily into the DLC. So, you know, there are some more components and different people you're fighting. And of course, fusing more advanced demons and you're fighting more advanced demons. And ultimately, I mentioned before that I played it a bit on the PS4, got a ways into it and stopped. I'm glad I picked it up again and played it all the way through because it was a fun game.
Yeah. The character that was in the DLC more heavily featured, was that a character you wanted to see more of? Like, were you happy that it was part of the DLC?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, all of the characters, the main people that you could put in your party, are very engaging, likable, mm-hmm. fun people to control. And this character was no different. That was the other interesting thing about it is, as Joker is the main guy, you know, he's the one who ended up in Super Smash Brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the person you're controlling. And of course you can romance and one or more of the women in the game. And this character we're talking about is one of the people you can romance, but
right.
you couldn't really in the first part. And I have already picked, I guess, who I was going to be with. So the fact that now you could do this going ahead, although you could do that throughout the whole game, they give you the option and it will warn you if you have already started a relationship with one of the characters. It'll say, you know, you're already in a relationship with X. You sure you want to do this?
right.
And I should point out the game kind of, we'll let people make their own decisions. I'll just say, do the right thing.
Okay.
When you're playing this game, do the right thing.
Yeah.
But that was a bit strange. But the whole thing came together well, and the person ends up having a much more interesting backstory than you expect out of the DLC, especially with the way it was set up in the initial story. Although I shouldn't say it also comes out of nowhere. There were hints that I didn't think they were going to go in the direction they did with the hints that they provided about this character's past. It was very interesting and worth the trip.
Mm-hmm. And Persona 5, the original that you had played some of, how long ago did that come out?
Well, I was very far behind on that. I'm pretty sure I remember one of the E3s I was at. That Atlas had a big booth promoting it, so it would have been at least all the way back to 2019.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can find out here real quickly.
Or even to 2017, by the looks of it.
Oh, was it that far back? Okay.
Yeah. Worldwide, Japan 2016. Worldwide 2017. And it was PS4 and PS3 as well. So they did it on both systems by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the Royal version has come out on other systems as well. And the DLC, is that specific? That was for Persona 4 at the time, right? Not specifically for the Royal version. Like, it's included in the Royal version, but it's not.
Yes, I think the Royal version, and there may be more that comprises the Royal version. But yeah, that was something you got separately of it, and now it's just rolled into the purchase. So if you get Persona 5 Royal, you get that extra content. You get an awful lot of costumes to start with, and I'm not sure if you had to buy those individually to begin with, and a lot of other things that help along the way. So the game was actually much, much easier to start because of the Royal version, because they give you all this content you can use immediately if you want.
Oh, that's good. Did we end up reviewing this game?
No, we didn't. Unfortunately, if you're out there listening, Sega/Atlas, we don't have much of a relationship with them. So we didn't. And now that's not a prerequisite. A lot of times we will buy games. I've purchased many games and reviewed them. But since I played this so far behind the release, it, you know, there's no point really writing a review of it.
Yeah. Now. What would you do? You want to give it a rating?
I would give it a 9.
Okay. There you go.
Nine out of 10.
Yeah, I assumed it to be pretty high. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, I'm glad it worked out well. It is interesting that we were talking about the dungeons or palace in this case, and it wasn't what you thought. So I guess that makes it even better because you were obviously still loving it, but you were questioning whether it was too much for the last dungeon. So I'm glad they kind of actually went the way that we both agreed was the best way.
Yeah, they swerved me a little bit there, so good job.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. Keep you on your toes.
Now, I will say also, although I really like this game, some of the older Personas have been released for the Switch, and I'm not going to go back and do those.
Okay.
I've read too much that say this is the best game in the series, and although there is Persona 3 has been completely remade for PS5 and Xbox right now, as opposed to it just, you know, being an old version pushed over to the Switch. So maybe I'll try that when that comes around. We'll see how the reviews come in for that. But otherwise, I think I've had enough. What I may do, though, is go back and replay Shin Megami Tensei 5, which is the same kind of core mechanic, but with a completely different type of story and the gameplay surrounding the demon fusing is quite a bit different. So yeah, I may do that.
Okay. And I guess eventually they'll make a Persona 6 at some point.
I would think so. Yeah. It seems to be a very popular series.
And now you're up to date. You can just jump straight into number 6.
Yes.
Yeah. Is Joker, is he the protagonist in all of the games?
No, I think just Persona 5.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. See, I don't know a whole lot about it, to be honest. But I mean, I know what you've told me, so thank you for educating me on Persona 5. What is the other game that you've been playing this week?
The other game I mentioned that I was just starting last week is Hitman Blood Money Reprisal. It's an it's an old game that has been remade a bit for modern systems, and it's now on the Switch courtesy of Feral Interactive. It's interesting. It's not the type of game I usually play. It's a sort of like a third person stealth assassination game, where you're given missions and you have to infiltrate various areas and work your way towards the person that you're supposed to kill. And the stealthier you are in doing this, the more you're going to be rewarded for the job that you did. So, in fact, there's a tutorial at the beginning, and my one complaint so far is that the controls are very unwieldy to me. In that, in the heat of battle, when something happens and I need to hit something, I just completely flub the button that I'm supposed to hit. That's on me. But that said, there are certainly, they could have done things that felt more natural, I think, to gamers of this type. But so, like I was in the tutorial and I'm moving along pretty well, and you know, you need to distract people. So you have a coin and you throw the coin and they walk off, and then you're able to sneak past something. Although curiously, the coin remained in my inventory. I don't understand that. I'm assuming I just have a lot of coins available and they only depicted in my inventory as being one. But there was a point where I was supposed to hide the weapon that I had in this box and carry the box through a door, and a guy stopped me and searched the box, saw the weapon, and started to attack me. So I figure I must have done something wrong there. But at that point, everyone in the room's attacking me, and I was playing on easy mode, as we've talked about before, to you know, be able to get through it faster for the review. And I was just shooting everyone, and they were shooting me, and I thought, I'm really not playing this game right at all. Clearly, because there's no stealth happening here. I'm just, you know, attacking everyone in the room, shooting from a balcony.
Can you?
So I started over
that way. If you were successful, could you take them out that way?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But that's not how it's meant to be.
Well, yeah. And the more your rewards are fewer if you've just laid bodies all over the place.
Right.
The point is to be sneaky.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I restarted. I learned the controls better, forced myself to remember where they are, and then I bumped up the difficulty, because I think this is a game where it needs to be difficult. The one thing that they've done too is this version includes like a map, which I guess, like I said, I didn't play the original version of this, but you didn't have a map to help you find your way, so that would have made it more difficult. And they now have sensors, like if someone's detecting you, you're sort of warned, so you can hide quickly or change whatever behavior you're doing so that you're not going to be found out. And from what I understand, that wasn't in the original. So considering they've done so much to make it easier, I felt like I was really cheating by playing on the easy mode and was missing the whole feel of the game. So I've upgraded my difficulty and pushed along further into it and have enjoyed it. I will say, if you have kids, do not play this game with the kids in the room.
Right. Is it MA or something? The rating?
Yeah. It's mature. I thought, I shouldn't say I thought, it's, you know, it's language is the main thing. And that comes instantly and furiously. The other things that it's rated for, I can sort of like tell when it's coming and pause it or, you know, whatever you have to do, but you can't stop the language. So
If
that's an issue for you, make sure you're playing it on your own.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I would say most games don't have that issue. I don't notice a lot of foul language in games. Violence, you know, is one thing, but maybe I'm going to stop playing the types of games that have that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we are on Nintendo and they tend to they tend to not so heavily promote these kind of games. But you know, they should, because there's an audience for this. And like I said, I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's not normally my type of game, but it's well done. And I can see why it's carried on for so long and why we're getting this reprisal so far down the road from the original release.
Yeah, right. So when you restarted it, you were able to get past that person who checked your box?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I paid more attention to the controls I was supposed to be using and figured out the various strategies you need to sneak around with items like that, and was able to do so.
Okay, well, that's good. You worked it out. Would you say, is it comparable at all to, is it Metal Gear? That's like, that has a very stealth-like element to it, doesn't it?
Metal Gear. Yeah, the later ones, yeah. This one, I think, is more of an open world. Like, I always felt with Metal Gear that there was a path that you were kind of being guided down and you just needed to figure out your way there. Now, I didn't play all of them. I did do the demo and played through some of them with the Konami event that I went to, but didn't get far enough to get a full feel for the later games in that series. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. And apparently, I mean, Low Interactive, who's the makers of Hitman 4?
I always thought it was IO.
Oh, IO. Yeah, sorry, it probably is actually. I don't know why I said that. IO Interactive, yeah, it is. I saw it and I'm like, that's an I, and then I still said Low Interactive. I don't know. Sorry, listeners, but yes, IO Interactive.
Also, to remind you, it's Euphoria.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. We love to have wordplay on the show and to confuse people. Apparently, there's no Hitman 4 announced yet, but the developer IO Interactive has assured fans that the franchise is not done. It's not concluding anytime soon. So that is good news in that there could be a new entry at some point. So hopefully that means, yeah, more of the series if people are interested, which it sounds like they are. Yeah, I've never played one.
There's certainly quite a few games in the series that maybe have not been brought over yet and they could update as well.
Yeah, that's true. I'm surprised they didn't do a collection.
We love our collections, don't we?
We do, yes. Like, how long would you say, I know you haven't finished it, but do you have an idea of how long this game would be in terms of hours, around about?
I don't. I know, like, the funny thing is when you're playing through a level or a mission, it seems like it's taking forever. But that's because you're being so cautious and you're working your way through it. I bet once you've gone through this once and you know what to do, then you're probably knocking these off pretty quickly. So I haven't looked to see how many there are or how many missions I've completed versus what's still ahead. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't weigh in. I can't imagine it would be more than 30 to 40 hours, but you know, which seems like a lot, but remember I just came off Persona 5 Royal, so.
Yeah, okay. And is he like a spy or something? Because his name's Agent. Is it Agent?
Yeah, he's like a secret agent who's, okay. You know, he's above the law. He gets to do what he wants.
Yeah, okay. Would you say he's a good guy or an anti-hero? What is he?
An anti-hero a bit. I don't know. I mean, the people that you're assassinating all have it coming, we'll say.
Right. Okay.
But he's also taking out a lot of people on the way to his target. So, there are people who are assisting, you know, but these aren't the guys who have committed the crime. They're protecting the guy who committed the crime. So, it's very much that sort of like a vigilante, but within the confines of the law kind of approach.
Right. So there's a bit of collateral damage, you could say.
Yeah. Oh, and he's really good. He's a master of disguise, we'll put that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There are some comical elements where he will take someone out and put on that person's clothes and then kind of walk around the area acting like he's a scientist or whatever. So it's sort of amusing seeing him in the different outfits.
Is that why he's bald? Does he put on a hat or hair or something? Is that why?
You know, I didn't even think of that. I can't recall if I ever saw him in an outfit with hair.
Otherwise, it's a bit of a giveaway if you see a bald man and you're looking for a bald man, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not that one. He's got a science coat on.
It's also funny when he, like, you take someone out along the way. I'm saying politely, you kill someone along the way.
Yeah.
You can dispose of the body and they have some funny ways of disposing of the bodies as you're working your way through. Because if you don't, then someone will find the body. Now everyone's on high alert. So you got to take care of that issue too. There's an awful lot to think about as you're working your way through this and being as sneaky as you can.
Yeah. Last week I mentioned there was a movie, which there was in 2007. Apparently there are two movies. I did not realize that. I think there's a sequel.
Who played the agent?
Timothy Oliphant was the agent in at least the first movie.
Okay.
The second one may have been somebody different. It might have been less big than the first one. Oh no, maybe he was in it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I should look on IMDb, I guess, but it's not sort of giving me that information on Google for some reason.
I don't, this is the kind of game I could have a lot of fun playing, but I don't think it's the type of movie I would have a lot of fun watching.
Oh no, he wasn't. In the second one, it was a different person. Rupert Friend, who I don't know. No. But Zachary Quinto was John Smith, and he used to be in that Heroes show.
Oh, yeah. He played and he was also Spock, wasn't he? Didn't he play Spock in one of the Star Wars updates?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Not sure what happened to him. He made it into Hitman 2, though, so there you go. the sequel was only actually 2015, so it was quite a bit later than the original, which was 2007. Boy,
no memory. I don't remember those being promoted or anything.
I remember the first one. Coming out, I didn't see it, but I remember it being a thing. But not, I did not know there was a second one. So there you go. If you're a huge fan, maybe you want to check them out. They seem to be, you know, sort of 5 or 6 on IMDb. They're not terrible. You know, if it's less than 5, I wouldn't bother. I'm sure it's fine. The first one's 6.2, I think. So it's probably decent for an action movie or something. But yeah. Okay. And the first one, at least, is MA rated. So if you like that level of violence, you might enjoy it also. So yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. The first one has a 16% approval at Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes, so. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty low. That's pretty low. Yeah. way up whether you're a Rotten Tomatoes follower or an IMDb follower. I don't know. Rotten Tomatoes is a bit stricter, I think. But yeah, 16 is pretty low. Yeah.
Well, like I always also say, when you are looking at movie reviews, you've got to find one reviewer who generally feels the same way you do about a lot of things and just trust that person.
True. That's true. Yes. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. I had that. I had a person on YouTube, but he seems to be, he's changed. He's grumpier now and doesn't like the things that I like anymore when he used to, but that's okay. Anyway, sorry. Side note. thank you. That's an awesome wrap up of Persona 5 and Hitman Blood Money. If listeners are playing either of those games, let us know. We'd love to know what your thoughts are on them. But we'll finish off with our Switch to Rumors of the Week, as we've been doing recently in the countdown to the Switch. And I say countdown, but we don't know what we're counting down to because we don't know when it's going to be announced. I did see, and this isn't the Switch to Rumor of the Week, but I did see a rumor that a Nintendo Direct would happen next week, which is really, I don't know, a rumor. I think it's just someone guessing, but they said it was from a source, you know, a leaked source. And I don't know how you would know that. But,
I mean, anything is a source. Your brain in the middle of the night technically is a source.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Yes. So it remains to be seen whether that will happen. We kind of expect one in February. So they'll give us probably a day or two notice. I don't think they'll give us a whole lot of notice. It'll just be, hey, Nintendo Direct happening, February the 14th or whatever. So we'll see. If that's the date now, that'll be interesting. I will be the source for that. Not sure they'd do it on Valentine's Day, but hey, Princess Peach might be considered a lovely game that could, I don't know. Because that's a Wednesday. I think Wednesdays are a good day. That's a typical day for a Nintendo Direct, isn't it?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so this week's rumors are about games, because I saw a few things to do with games that were coming out on the Switch 2. One is to do with Mario. So, you know, apparently, and this is, like we say, disclaimer, these are rumors. This is not fact and nothing has been announced. It is just what we've heard on the interwebs and speculation. So a new Mario 3D title is launching with a Switch 2. This is the rumor, which, you know, is a fairly good rumor. We think, you know, Mario Odyssey was an early title for the Switch. There hasn't been a 3D Mario for a long time, so it's possible, of course. Nintendo is most likely working on a Mario 3D title of some sort. The news is that it features huge worlds, and I think it was something to the effect of, you know, a Mario Odyssey world, because it's broken up into several, you know, you go to different worlds within Mario Odyssey, and those worlds, what was the analogy? One world in the new Mario 3D game would be equivalent to the whole of Mario Odyssey or something crazy like that, which is ridiculous. But yeah, apparently it's huge. I guess it's similar to, say, Breath of the Wild compared to Tears of the Kingdom. Like, the world is obviously expanded from game to game, right? The other rumor as part of this was that there'd be a major Donkey Kong appearance. So the rumor said something like, it was a bit random because it said Pauline would be featured or playable and some other character would like Toad or something. And then it said DK would be in it, not necessarily the villain, but somehow playing an integral role. And it was like, maybe you switch between Mario and Donkey Kong. And this person was saying, you know, as a bit of a evidence, I suppose, if you want to call it evidence, it is that Donkey Kong has been a major player recently, as in he was in the movie quite significantly. He's got his own ride at Nintendo World now. If that's opened, I don't know if it's open, but there's a ride coming. He's got the Mario vs. Donkey Kong game coming out, obviously. So just the Donkey Kong is in the kind of ethos. Is that the right word for that? He's in the zeitgeist at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. So they're saying maybe he's some features somehow in this new Mario title. So that would be interesting. I could see maybe a crossover event, you know, Donkey Kong Country X, Mario
X Donkey Kong again.
Yeah. You know, it's been a while since we've seen a Donkey Kong title, that's for sure. Tropical Freeze, I think, was the last main outing, which actually is on sale at the moment. And I'm thinking of picking that up too, side note, because I've never actually played that. And I think I've missed out, so I need to probably pick that up as well. But yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting rumor. What do you think? Likely, unlikely? Don't care.
Well, I think, if there's going to be a new Nintendo console released, obviously we're going to have a Mario title mm-hmm. on day one. So that it would be a new Mario 3D game makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because we've had so many other types of Mario games announced. I mean, I guess the big one with the Switch was a Mario Kart. Was that the one that came out day one, or were there more?
For the Switch.
Or was it Smash? Gosh. No, it was Smash. I don't know.
Day one, I thought it was Breath of the Wild. I thought it was a Zelda title. And Mario
Breath of the Wild was definitely there. I thought there was a Mario game there too, but that's not one I would have purchased or paid much attention to. So if it wasn't there, then, you know, I wouldn't know.
I think Mario Odyssey was within the first year. I think it was at the end of the first year from memory. And Mario Kart might have been... What year did the Switch come out? Mario Kart was 2017. Was the Switch 2016?
So that was behind it too.
So maybe a year? Right. Yeah? Switch release date was... Oh, no, it was. So Mario Kart came out about a month after. So Mario Kart was quite early. Yeah. And Mario Odyssey, I believe, was at the end of that year as well. So... Not launch titles exactly, but very launch window. Do they call it that?
Launch window. And we won't, I imagine we won't be getting a major Zelda game with the new console because we just had Tears of the Kingdom.
Exactly.
So yeah, Mario would have to be one of the big titles to put in there. I do wonder why, like when you were talking about featuring a huge world, I was thinking of Tears of the Kingdom, but then I thought, why don't they just drop Mario in a world like that? Where it's not different areas. He just, you know, it's one big area with different environments.
Oh, yeah, it could be. That's actually, yeah. Hey, I think that might be it. That would make sense, actually.
Yeah, and then then a reason to go to this environment and then back to another one. Like you could find things in one that give you, you know, to keep you bouncing back and forth between the worlds as opposed to conquering them one by one and then just going into something else.
Yeah, similar, I guess, like if you go to the sort of an icy or snowy world without certain, you know, like Link would go to the colder areas and be too cold unless he's got food to eat or the right, you know, outfit to wear. Mario could have something similar. He might need a jacket. I don't know, right? Yeah. He needs something to get him there. So you can't go there until you've found it in some other world or region of the overworld. That could be interesting. I could see that happening. Yeah, and maybe...
Although, I feel like we've opened a can of worms now that they'll do something like that and all the traditional, like, serious Mario fans are going to be furious, like Justin's complaint about the open-world Zelda games instead of the linear story-driven ones.
Yeah, it would be a departure, but maybe it's an evolution. I don't know. That would be interesting. And maybe Donkey Kong... There's a Donkey Kong land within the overworld, and that's where he is, and he's... maybe at first he's an enemy and you have to defeat him, and then he becomes your friend and helps you. I don't know. There's the frenemy aspect again.
To me, it makes sense. I'd be curious what the diehard Mario fans would feel about such a thing.
Yeah, it is different. That's for sure. I'd embrace it. I think as long as the gameplay works and it's still Mario to the core.
Yeah.
I'd enjoy it. I mean, Odyssey was it different? I mean, it was very big, and you know, there's a lot of different mechanics, like even Cappy, throwing your cap around and changing. Mm-hmm. That was very unique and special, but it was very enjoyable. That was a great game.
So, well, and the gameplay in an open world could be, I mean, you wouldn't have to change the gameplay at all.
Exactly.
It would just be bigger instead of being confined to these smaller areas where you have to solve just like, here are the puzzles in this area, and then you move on. The puzzles just branch out.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. I think that's a pretty good option. So that we can be the source for that.
Okay, very cool. Feel free to drop us.
Yeah. Yeah, listeners, what would you think of a Mario 3D title that's completely open world? No set, you know, no paintings to jump into like Mario 64. No spaceships to travel from world to world like Mario Odyssey. It's just all there, open, and you can travel anywhere you like. What would that be like? I think that'd be good. I'd like that. I don't know how you go back to it, though, after that. How would you go back to a traditional, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's why everyone will hate the suggestion. You know, it'll be fun. It'll be a great change of pace. But then after you're done, you're like, well, but I like the old style, too. Now what do I do?
Yeah, interesting. I think it'd do well, though. Overall, I think, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, we might have our, you know, like you said, Justin had his issues with it, but it's very well received and popular. And I mean, the same could happen for Mario, really.
Yeah. Oh, and didn't they do that with Sonic? Wasn't that the recent Sonic release they did was a big open world thing like that?
Yeah. Was that Sonic? What was that one? That wasn't Unleashed, was it? That was the one earlier in the 2000s that I think Generations might have been based on. I can't remember the title of it. That's terrible. What was it called? Sonic.
Yeah, I feel like one of us should be talking while the other one looks.
Yeah, I know.
So we don't look like we both.
I know we reviewed. I know we reviewed it. So it is on our website. We gave it a pretty good review. Not from me. Someone maybe just reviewed that one, I think. But yeah, it was pretty well received overall.
Frontiers.
Frontiers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They did try to do that. I think they had islands, though, didn't they? Still, there was still something. He was in a different land to where Sonic usually would be, and I think he traveled from island to island. So it's still kind of contained, but maybe open world-ish.
Yeah, I just played the demo, so I think I only had exposure to one part of it. Oh, but you know what? If you didn't play that game and you wanted to give it a try, it's heavily on sale right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. $24. 60. Is that 60? Yeah. 60% off until February 8th.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Tempting, but maybe Sea of Stars for me. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. They're the two I really should get, honestly. But yes, good to know. Thank you. The other game that I heard mentioned was Metroid 4, which, I mean, that's not a new game at all, but as in we know it exists, but it's in playtest stage was the rumor. So that means it's close, I suppose, to release, maybe. I don't know how close it would be playtest, unless there's lots of bugs or lots of negativity from the playtest stage. I mean,
maybe it's been in playtest stage for 4 years.
Maybe, yeah. So yeah, the rumor was that it is in that sort of testing stage right now, I guess, with gamers. Hopefully that means it's quite close to being finished and it could be a Switch 2 launch title is what people are thinking. So, yeah, it makes sense that it would be. And we've kind of talked about that one before. Would you release a big game like that at the end of the Switch's life? I don't know. Or both, you know, it could be on both, like we've said. So
yeah, I think they'd have to do both. I mean, since they promised that as a Switch title so far back, I think a lot of people who, you know, I imagine there are people out there who bought the Switch looking forward to that game. And it's not like they haven't had anything to enjoy otherwise, but that would still be kind of rude to promise it for one system and then tell you, sorry, you need to pay another $500 to actually play it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are you a big Metroid fan?
I have played the platformer Metroids. I played the Metroid Prime series.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And all the way through and loved them all. I am one of the few people who played and thoroughly enjoyed Other M.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, I would say I'm a fan, and I would certainly play Metroid 4. I would not get it right away because I absolutely need some kind of walkthrough or guide for that, because there's so much backtracking to get all the stuff, and I feel like I want to do it. So I'm just going to wait until someone tells me exactly where to go, because I don't think that ruins that game, because it's the actual action that's so much fun to play. So just knowing where to go to me isn't cheating.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with that. Yeah. And there is a lot of backtracking in those titles. So it's easy to get lost and to lose your way.
Very easy. And do you play them all?
No, not all of them. I've only played a handful. I definitely have played the 2D Metroid. More of a fan of that series, I suppose. Yep. Just because
like platformers more in general, right?
Exactly. So I played the first one way back on the NES. And the second one on the Super Nintendo, Super Metroid. I played the recent Metroid Dread as well. And really, the Prime series I've only dabbled in. They're very good. I'm just not much of a third-person shooter person. I find them hard.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know they're very good, and I've played them and enjoyed them. It's not that I don't enjoy them for what they are, and I certainly know they're well-received and well-made, and they look great, so... I know Metroid Prime 4 is highly anticipated, and I'm sure it'll be great as well. But we'll stand by for more news on that one. But that's the rumors of the week. Did you have anything to add to that list?
Nope, I didn't see anything. In fact, until I saw yours here, I guess I just wasn't paying attention.
That's all right.
But also, I usually see those on Twitter, and I've been trying to avoid Twitter as much as possible lately.
Yeah.
See, I avoided so much, I still call it Twitter.
Oh, I still call it Twitter. I don't want to call it X, because then it's like Sonic X Shadow.
It's Twitter, like, why are we giving them free promotion?
Yes.
Sonic
exactly.
Facebook Shadow. We're not doing that, so forget about it.
Oh my gosh, that was his plan all along. There you go. We worked it out. Conspiracy theory. Yeah. No, I mean, Twitter. Yeah, I'm sort of using it to source news a little bit still, just because it's easy, but I also try to avoid it a little bit. But I just find it a good source for some Nintendo news at least. So
yeah,
it's an interesting one. But that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Did you have anything else you wanted to say before we close things off?
Nope, I think I've talked enough today. I've talked enough for Trevor and I both.
Yes. We miss you, Trev. Come back next week. Thank you. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you for joining me this week and joining the fun discussion about all things Nintendo. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Let us know your thoughts. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about, let us know as well. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on YouTube or DM us on Twitter as well, which we refuse to call X. We are also on Blue Sky and Mastodon now as well, so head on over to those platforms if you'd like to follow us. We're also furiously working on our current issue of the Pure Nintendo magazine, which is due out now, but we're trying to get it done, so bear with us a little longer. If you would like to support us, and if you'd like a copy, please head on over to patreon.com/purenintendo. We'd love your support. And the issue is shaping up to be a lovely looking issue with lots of cool content. But until next week, it's about all from us. So thank you, and game on, everybody.